Today, we're going to go over what to look for in a location, what to think about when you're trying to actually find a location for your business, and why it matters to pick the right location. But first, I'm Michael Logan. This is The Common Sense Show.
You're listening to The Common Sense Show. If you've just started a new business, or if you're just thinking about it, this podcast is for you. Michael Logan has a stellar track record coaching small businesses to achieve six-figure revenue streams. The advice on this show is what has allowed him to have over 15 years of experience as an entrepreneur. Here is your host, Michael Logan.
All right, welcome to the show today. And today we're going to go into scouting out locations for your business and why it's important to pick the right location, what it matters, what to look for, and all the stuff that we talked about in our pre-open. So let's get right into it. And it's very important. Well, you may have heard the statement, location, location, location. Oftentimes you might hear that coming from someone who is in real estate, and they're trying to tell you that, oh, you know, before you buy your house, you want to make sure that you can get your money back for what you're buying. But it has to be based in the location that they believe that the real estate is going to appreciate in value. So the whole point behind location, location, location is that you're buying into an area where you can get your money back plus some when it's time for you to sell it. So in business, that is the case, but you're looking, instead of getting your money back when you sell it, that is one piece of it. You're mainly looking for a place where you can actually generate the kind of revenue that you need to generate in order to meet your business obligations. And of course, ultimately to make a profit and hopefully put yourself in a position to sell. So location is really important when it comes to business. It's going to be the difference between you generating the kind of leads that you need to keep your business afloat and you having to close the doors potentially because you cannot find the customers that want to patronize your business. So today we're going to give a crash course on basically why location is important and what to look for and what you should be doing in trying to choose your location. So let's get cracking. The first thing to talk about is demographics. Who are the people that are going to patronize your business? Who currently buy from you? So when you're trying to find a location for your business to go, you have to consider demographics. Now, there's a lot of different demographic variable information that you can choose from that you can use as information about who your customer is. But in previous episodes, and there's going to be some coming up when I talk about customer avatar, and I've talked about customer avatar in brief spades in some of the conversations that I've had with some of the people I've interviewed on the show. But the most important thing is, if you remember from what I've mentioned on this podcast, that it is crucial that you understand who your customer avatar is. Who are they? Why do they buy from you? What's their age? What's their income? Where do they come from? Where do they live? You know, all that stuff is important in assessing who your customer avatar is, because once you understand that about your customer avatar, then it puts you closer to understanding the demographics of where these people are. And so when you're going to try to figure out a place where you're going to locate your business, does your average customer avatar, the person who engages your service or buys your product, do they live in the neighborhood that you're thinking about putting your business in? Or do they live in a neighboring neighborhood? Are there people there in that neighborhood who could become your customer because they frequent businesses that actually have the same customer avatar as yours? Remember, it's really important for you to also scout out competitor businesses that actually serve the same customer, because they don't necessarily have to engage in the same buying habits in a terms of domain, but they should share the same characteristics as you in terms of who the customer that they're serving is. So, does this person who has the income, that has the desire, and that has the frequency of purchasing products or services in a business like yours live in an area that you're actually trying to locate your business? Sometimes I've spoken to people when it comes to where to locate their business, and some of the answers I get is, well, I'm projecting that this area is going to become something eventually. And the government has started to gentrify the area. And I think that the people who want to buy this, but who want to service, who want to patronize this business are actually going to be coming into the area. So let me just put a business there. Here's the problem with that. Business speculation is different than stock speculation. Okay, when you speculate in business to that degree, you're not going to get the income that you need to pay your basic bills. Neither are you going to be able to get the income that you need to be able to support marketing to even more people who could patronize your service. The difference between a stock and an actual buying into a stock for a company that has competent management and being the competent management yourself is making sure that you can grow your revenue and that you can get repeat customers or new customers. You have to think about both new business and existing business when you're trying to put your business in a locality. So not just can you acquire one segment of the demographic that you're serving, does your demographic live there? Do they shop there? Do they buy there? Or is it a pass-through for your demographic and they're looking for something quicker than maybe what you have to offer? Or is it some, or is it a place where, you know, it's an up and coming area and I think that eventually it will grow into a place where I can do business and I can get all these customers. Okay. I understand the thought process behind that. You're trying to stay ahead of the curve and you're also trying to skate where the puck is going, like Wayne Gretzky says. However, the problem with that is that you could be too early or that demographic may never show up. And if they never show up, or the government's plans change for gentrifying an area, then you are going to be stuck with the lease holding the bill. And remember, these leases have multiple years on them. So you got to be careful. You got to know whether or not your demographic is in a stone's throw away from where you're trying to put the business. Here's the other piece. Depending on if you're in an urban area versus if you are in a suburban area versus a rural area, how far will people travel in order to get to your business? Does your demographic typically take the public transportation if you live in the city? Do they typically drive if you live in the rural or suburban areas? And even if they drive, how far are they willing to drive? Are they willing to cross towns to get to your business? What you may find is that in some areas of the country, people are willing to drive and cross towns to get to a business that they really enjoy. But the closer you get into the city, people are less likely to actually cross towns in order to go and patronize a business. So you really have to understand not just the shopping in the, you know, the intangible characteristics of your customer avatar. You have to also consider people's travel patterns and where they go to procure these services or these products for themselves. And if they're willing to actually travel, and if they're, how far are they willing to travel is something that you have to think about too. Because later in this discussion about location, we're going to bring up another variable when it comes to about traveling that is just as important for you to keep in mind. So the next thing that we're going to talk about with location and where to put your business is competition. How many competitors do you have in an area? And are those competitors, how long have they been in business? For instance, I used to have a restaurant that was located in where we lived downtown in Boston. And that restaurant changed hand like 4 or 5 times. And was it the location? Was it the operating ability of the business owner? Who knows? But it's something to keep in mind. Have you noticed that the businesses that are your type of business that have chosen to go in a specific area tend to close down after 6 months and not do as well? Well, that could be a sign that you have to look at how your competition is actually doing. Are there competitors on your block? How many of your competitors are on the block? Is it something that you could be distilling and actually preventing yourself from getting more business because you're in an area where you have too many competitors, too many to choose from? Therefore, people are they're paralyzed and they don't want to move forward because they think that they have too many options. Therefore, they can't choose any. Now, I do believe that there is some competitive advantage to having similar type of services on the same end of town and sometimes on the same street, depending on where exactly you are. And I'm going to sneeze. Hold on. And which you should think about is that, okay, so how many of these competitors are there? Do I believe that this area can sustain an additional competitor that does the same thing? So let's say you have an area of 10,000 people and you have a, let's call it a auto repair shop. Okay. Now the auto repair shop is going, you know, they can service so many cars. Everyone in the area actually has a car, and there's 10,000 people there. Okay. So it's likely that although there's 10,000 people in the area, let's call it there's 7,000 drivers, one auto repair shop can't handle 7,000 cars at least. And that's a lot of business. So you may be able to open another auto repair shop in the area, be competitive, and actually be have more business than you can handle. Now let's switch to something like fitness. There could be an area where there's 10,000 people and not everyone likes to work out. And so in fact, not only does not everyone like to work out, but you're also in a situation where a very small percentage of people in your state or your area actually like to work out. And so instead of having access to the 7,000 cars in the 10,000 person town, you have access to, let's call it 5% of the 10,000 people who were there. And so obviously 5% of 10,000 is 500 people. And now let's say that there is four gym concepts or five gym or fitness concepts in a town where there's seemingly only 5% of people or 500 people who actually work out. So now you're splitting 500 people between all these locations. And does that give you enough business to sustain yourself to both create new business for yourself and to retain the business that you actually have? It's something to think about. So the second thing is you have to think about competition. So are you going to, by going in there, create so much competition where actually it doesn't matter because the level of service that you can provide is needed by the vast majority of people who are there, or because you may water it down and there may be too many concepts of a specific nature because only a small percentage of that population actually is willing to engage with the business type that you're bringing into the area, be it retail, coffee shop, auto repair, fitness concept, whatever the case is. You have to make sure that not only people consume your service or product in that area, but they also patronize it. And how many people? Another thing to consider when it comes to location is the property type or the building type that you want to go into. Is it a Class A space, which is typically newer spaces that were built from the ground up, recently built, and you may have seen them in your area, and they have, you know, brand new parking lots, they have nice whitewash walls, they are big and open and spacious. They're typically subdivisible so that they can divide into smaller spaces or bigger spaces or different configurations. And they kind of look like destination spots. And so sometimes if you travel to like Southern Florida, or Central Florida, I'm not sure exactly where Orlando is. It's like kind of like just south of Central Florida, but still Central Florida. And they have these areas that were built, and it looks like these retail areas just kind of were built and plopped in the middle of nowhere. And so those would be like Class A spaces that are brand new spaces. Then there are Class B spaces, which are typically buildings that have a need of some repair. They've been around for some time and maybe they're on their third, fourth generation and they need HVAC work or they need some kind of repaving, something like that. And then this Class C, which is a building that typically is clear that it's really aged and it needs some repair. So depending on what kind of business you have, if you're in a luxury business and you're in a Class C space, that might turn off your customers, especially if they're used to getting luxury goods. If you are in a business where you are primarily office-based and what the aesthetic of the building is not necessarily a primary driver of who your customer base is, you may choose a Class B space. because you can engage the customer and they're not worried about the building as much. And also a thing to think about when it comes to Class A, B, and C space is that the rents are going to be completely different. So the rents for Class A space, as you can imagine, are going to be Class A rent, which means that you're going to pay a premium for rents in the Class A space because those are pristine, brand new, nothing to write home about. They can, you can move right in, turnkey. Well, usually there's some build out, of course, but it's turnkey. You can go right in. Class B, now we're talking a little bit more renovations. Maybe the air conditioning system has to be replaced, or maybe the heat has to be replaced, or maybe there is an electrical upgrade, or there's some cosmetic wear that needs to be redone so that you can actually move into the space. Class C spaces, you know, there's definitely going to be some renovation that's needed. It's probably on the fifth or greater generation, meaning one generation is one business cycle that's been in there. So you're looking at a place that's going to require some extra capital to be get up to the level of a Class B space, at least. Class A space, you can forget it, but like a Class B space, and to make it presentable. Is the property in good repair? So the location, is the property in good repair? If it's new, we talked about it's going to cost you more. It's a second generation. What's the accessibility of the property like? If you're a physical therapy business, you know that you're going to get people who are injured and need to come in to visit your space. So would you go into a Class C space with no ramps or no elevators to put your business in there because you feel like the rent is cheaper and you can actually spend more on marketing? You have the right idea because you want to spend more on marketing, but the wrong idea because you're not going to be able to actually engage with the customer because they can't get to you because the space is actually too inaccessible for them. Is it accessible in a way where a person doesn't have to do too many tricks in their car to get to you and they can find you easier? It's not in an industrial park. If you need actual sightline visibility is the ability for you to see from a traffic stop sign, traffic light, or the street level and see the business from there. Do you have good sight lines? If you are in a space that requires walk-bys, traffic, and you're in an industrial park where nobody can find you and you need a sign or a wavy, wacky, inflatable arm man on the corner of a street to point you in the direction of your business, then you're going to have a tougher time driving business into your showroom or into your office or into wherever you're presenting your services or your products. So having an accessible building with good sight lines is really important if your business depends on eyes on it, physical eyes on it, to be relevant as a form of marketing. Now, the one good thing that social media has done is social media has made putting eyes on businesses that are not necessarily accessible a lot better and a lot easier. The problem is if people still can't find you, you may be missing out on a good percentage of new business because people don't have access when they can't create those sight lines to your business. Also think about signage. How much more is it going to cost you to try to point people to your business from, for instance, a main road? So accessibility is important for individuals who need to patronize your business, who are handicapped or may have something, some kind of condition where it makes it hard to ambulate into your business. You need to think about that. You should think about sight lines. Can people see your business? Do they need to lay eyes on it? Or do you have the kind of business where you can be in an industrial park and it doesn't necessarily matter as much because maybe you're a manufacturing business that doesn't necessarily have visitors on a regular basis and you're primarily worried about driving traffic digitally to get to your website, therefore to ramp up your manufacturing. So there's that. And what about traffic? Traffic is another thing to think about when it comes to where to locate your business. When we talk about traffic, we're not talking about the sightline idea again. What we're talking about is the ability for people to drive by or to walk by and actually physically enter or go to your business. If you don't have enough traffic, how much traffic is there in the area? Are there only 100 cars? Do only 100 people walk by? Are they going to be able to see your business? Are they going to be able to even interact with your business? These are things that you have to consider. one of the things that you might want to do when you are like, let's say you have it in your mind, your heart set on this specific location for your business. One thing that you might consider is just to go out there for about an hour, hour and a half, sit at an intersection or a parking lot nearby and just watch how many people come by, drive or walk by. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there with a counter and count people or cars. I mean, you can if you're inclined to do that. No, I'm just talking about observing how you see people interact with this space. And here's another thing that you want to think about. What time of day do people go by? Do they go by in the early morning or late at night, middle of the day, on weekends? What is the traffic pattern like? So when you're considering that you have a business that operates early in the morning and late at night, if you're operating a fitness business, for instance, then you're going to want to see good traffic patterns at early in the morning and late at night. Why? Because you want people to lay eyes on your business when they're in the area. You want them to be able to walk in or drive by and see that people are engaging in your service. And so because people are engaging in your service, it creates this intrigue for them. And then they're going to want to go back to their websites and inquire about it because it looks so cool and they just have to join you. But you have to know that your hours are going to be quite relevant to how exactly the traffic patterns go as well. So traffic and hours of your business are really important when it comes to establishing hours and making sure that your peak times are filled in your business, whether it's retail or whether it's a service-based business. You want eyes on your sign. Do you get walk-by traffic? Are you in a city? If you're in the city and you don't get walk-by traffic, there's going to be a problem there. Is there parking out front? So let's talk about the traffic. And we probably should have mentioned this in property type, but is there parking? If you're in the city and there's no parking and you engage, let's say 10, 15, 20 people an hour, and they can't actually park and there's no option for them to park, then that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a big problem. And the reason why it's going to be a big problem is because no one's going to want to be hassled with the aggravation of trying to find parking if they can't find it. On the other side, maybe you're in an area and it has plenty of parking. Now, what are the other retail restaurants or the retail establishments in the location think about all of the parking that you might need for your business? Is that going to cause an argument and then tensions later? That's also something to consider. Are you going to be taking up most of the parking spaces in the area where you already have established businesses that are operating there? How's that going to make them feel? You remember, you also want to establish goodwill. You want to establish goodwill with the people who already have businesses there, because then, you know, they're going to perhaps refer people to you as well. So consider that as well. Now, here's a question that I find very interesting that I think that a lot of people don't talk about, which is your business the type that needs to be located where people work or where people live? Why is that important? Because if you have a business that's located where people work, I want you to think about something. Let's say that you have a business where people work and it's downtown in a financial district. I will give you an example that I heard of personally. There was a business, it was located downtown Boston, okay, urban metropolis. And the majority of the customers of this business were predicated on the people that were going into the office spaces of the businesses that were located downtown. There's only one problem. The problem is that coronavirus hit. And what happened? The capacity restrictions on work, or a lot of the companies switched to virtual work so that everyone's working at home. So now if you're a business that was based off of having this massive lunch rush and all these office workers, you probably got obliterated during COVID because of this. So that's something to think about too, which is that if you're located where people work, are you susceptible to having your own business be affected by the fact that people may not come back to the office, or may not come back to the office in the same in the same way that they did before, or they may not come back to the office at all. That's for you to think about. And now if your business is predicated on actually serving businesses, like your B2B, then you're in the perfect space because you can't be closer to a business than being where they operate. Now, what about if, are you a business where people are, where people live, if you're locating your business where people live? So that is something that you have to think about as well, because is if you operate in a place where people live, is it going to restrict their options with how, what time or when they can do business with you? Are you going to have modified hours because they leave the area to go to work during the day? So what does that do to when you can operate your business and how you can operate your business? So that's another thing to think about. So we just happened to, in my business downtown Boston here, we just happened to be located in a neighborhood in downtown Boston where people actually live. So we kind of have the best of both worlds. We're downtown where there's a million people and people actually live there. So it's not too hard to actually get to the business. However, if you just walk a quarter mile or less down the road, those businesses are, a lot of them are closed because people didn't go back to the office. So do you have a business that can operate where people live or where they work? Understand that your decision to that question is going to affect your operating hours. And if that affects your operating hours, does that affect your business structure and how you conduct your business? Something to think about. So when you're looking for location, there is, in my mind, there's many things to think about, but we're going to focus on just the five things we talked about today. Demographic, who is your customer avatar? First, you have to understand that piece. And does your customer avatar actually patronize businesses in the area where you want to put your business? Number two, competition. Are you trying to put your business in a location where it has the ability to actually increase in profitability because there are people in the area that need your business because there are not enough options of what you do in the area? Or is the percentage of people who actually patronize a business so small in the area that by adding another concept, even if they have the income and the desire to patronize your business, you would just be splitting the penny even more. So you have to think about that. So number three, the property type. Is it accessible? Can people get there? Are there good sight lines? Is it class A, B, or C? How much are you willing to pay on rent? How much do you think you can negotiate with the landlord for being there? And trust me, you want to negotiate a long lease as long as you can commercially, because there's a lot of value there. When you have a long lease in a commercial space, then you can have good stability when you're trying to grow your business. And you're more likely to get a tenant improvement allowance where the landlord will kick in for some beginning and opening renovations for your space if you actually sign a long lease. Number four, traffic. How much traffic does the area get? On top of getting eyes to it and getting the right people in your business, does it get foot traffic? Does it get drive-by traffic? Or is that traffic not as good during the times where you operate, right? You operate from 8 to 12 p.m. or you're a breakfast place that operates from 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. and the people are only in the area after 3. And you got to think about that. And number five, is your business located where people work or where people live? Are you going to put it in an area where you're supporting office workers or businesses where people come during the lunch break? And the problem is that those businesses no longer exist because of COVID or they went remote. You got to think about that. Or is it where people live, where they leave the area at a certain time and you can't operate in the hours and satisfy them because they're leaving out at a certain time or area? And if they're all going to work and you're not necessarily in a suburb where there are lots of stay-at-home parents, then if everyone's working, there's no stay-at-home parents, then you're in another pickle because there's no customers there to actually be around to actually engage with because everyone's working. So those are the five things that you should think about when you're trying to figure out a location for your business. We're going to roll with those today. And I'll dig a little deeper onto locations. I'll do maybe a part two about locations in a little bit, but chew on that. And then if you use the information that I gave you today about locations to try to really nail down where you should put your business, then you will be successful and your business will be successful as well. But always remember, when you're going through each one of these things, use your common sense in your business and your business will grow. But for now, I'm out. Peace.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Common Sense Show, hosted by Michael Logan. The producer for The Common Sense Show is Paul Logan. To reach out to Micah and The Common Sense Show, talk to us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search The Common Sense Show. And if you enjoy the show, please don't forget to rate and or review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Thank you for listening.